Welcome, everybody, to Coffee Grind with XEI, your random info podcast, where I, Nuno XEI, invite you to join me as I spotlight details about a random subject. If you're looking for focus, well, this podcast isn't for you, so thanks for coming. Have a nice day. This here, folks, is for the knowledge explorers and eccentric conversation starters out there. Slurp down that coffee, sit back and relax. It's time for a random info grind. This being the first episode and all, I find it appropriate to make it about coffee. It's made from the roasted and ground bean-like seeds of a tropical shrub called the coffea plant. Coffee plants are cultivated in over 70 countries, primarily in the equatorial regions of the Americas, Southeast Asia, India, and Africa. The two most commonly grown are the highly regarded Arabica, a seed that makes up a large portion of the commercial coffee out there, and the less sophisticated but stronger and more hardy Robusta, a seed that is indigenous to Central Africa but has been introduced elsewhere. Green unroasted coffee beans are one of the most traded agricultural commodities in the world. Once traded, the beans are roasted to varying degrees, depending on the desired flavor before being ground and brewed to create coffee. It can have a stimulating effect on humans because of its caffeine content, and the effect of coffee on human health has been the subject of many studies. The majority of recent research suggests that moderate coffee consumption is benign or mildly beneficial in healthy adults. According to legend, ancestors of today's Oromo people were believed to have been the first to recognize the energizing effects of the coffee plant. The Oromo are believed to have originally adhered to a nomadic or semi-agriculturalist lifestyle. Legend has it that Kaldi, a 9th century Ethiopian goatherd, discovered the coffee plant. Kaldi noticed that after his flock ate the bright red berries of a certain bush, they became more energetic, so he chewed upon the fruit himself. His exhilaration prompted him to bring the berries to an Islamic monk in a nearby monastery, but the monk disapproved of their use and threw them into a fire, from which an enticing aroma billowed. The roasted beans were quickly raked from the embers, ground up, and dissolved in hot water, yielding the world's first cup of coffee. Alas, the story is probably apocryphal, that is, of doubtful authorship or authenticity, as it was first related by Antoine Faustus Nerun, a Maronite who became a Roman professor of Oriental languages and author of one of the first printed treatises devoted to coffee in 1671. In modern times, Kaldi Coffee or Kaldi's Coffee is a popular name of coffee shops and coffee roasting companies around the world. Other accounts attribute the discovery of coffee to Sheikh Omar. According to the ancient chronicle preserved in the Abd al-Qadir manuscript, Omar, who was known for his ability to cure the sick through prayer, was once exiled from Mocha, Yemen, to a desert cave near Osab. Starving, Omar chewed berries from a nearby shrubbery but found them to be bitter. He tried roasting the seed to improve the flavor, but they became hard. He then tried boiling them to soften the seed, which resulted in the fragrant brown liquid. Upon drinking the liquid, Omar was revitalized and sustained for days. As stories of this miracle drug reached Mocha, Omar was asked to return and was made a saint. That's right, the saint of coffee. Okay, probably not, but I mean, for me, that's what he'll always be now, the saint of coffee. And he came from Mocha, which is my Mocha cappuccino is my favorite drink. Anyways, back to the grind. The earliest credible evidence of either coffee drinking or knowledge of the coffee tree appears to be in the middle of the 15th century in the Sufi Muslim monasteries around Mocha in Yemen. It was here in Arabia that coffee seeds were first roasted and brewed in a similar way to how it's prepared today. By the 16th century, it had reached the rest of the Middle East, Persia, Turkey, and Northern Africa. When coffee reached North America during the colonial period, it was initially not as successful as it had been in Europe as alcoholic beverages remained more popular, which is why I put Irish cream in my coffee every morning. Best of both worlds, suckus. So during the Revolutionary War, the demand of coffee increased so much that dealers had to hoard their limited supplies and raise prices dramatically. This was also due to the reduced availability of tea from British merchants and a general resolution among many Americans to avoid drinking tea following the 1773 Boston Tea Party. After the War of 1812, during which Britain temporarily cut off access to tea imports, the Americans' taste for coffee grew. Interesting fact. During the Age of Sail, sailors aboard the ship of the British Royal Navy made substitute coffee by dissolving burnt bread in hot water. Probably not the same. Coffee has become a vital cash crop for many developing countries, where over 100 million people have become dependent on coffee as their main source of income. It has become the primary export and backbone for African countries like Uganda, Burundi, Rwanda, and Ethiopia, as well as many Central American countries. Brazil is the current leader in production of green coffee, followed by Vietnam, Indonesia, and Colombia. Arabica coffee seeds are cultivated in Latin America, Eastern Africa, Arabia, or Asia. Robusta coffee seeds are grown in Western and Central Africa, throughout Southeast Asia, and to some extent in Brazil. Seeds from different countries or regions can usually be distinguished by differences in flavor, aroma, body, and acidity. These taste characteristics are dependent not only on the coffee's growing region, but also on genetic subspecies and processing. Coffee is no longer thought to be a risk factor for coronary heart disease. A 2012 meta-analysis concluded that people who drank moderate amounts of coffee had a lower risk of heart failure, with the biggest effect found for those who drank more than 4 cups a day.
Say what?
That's right. In one study, habitual coffee consumption was associated with improved vascular function. But see, that's where the contradiction comes in. See, coffee's adverse effects are more common when taken in excess. Many of coffee's health risks are due to its caffeine content and can therefore be avoided by drinking decaffeinated coffee. But come on, coffee consumption can lead to iron deficiency anemia by interfering with iron absorption, especially in mothers and infants. Coffee caffeine may aggravate pre-existing conditions such as migraines, arrhythmia, and cause sleep disturbances. It was once thought that coffee aggravates gastronomical reflux disease, but recent research suggests no link. About 15% of the U.S. general population reports having stopped drinking coffee altogether, citing concerns about their health and the unpleasant side effects of caffeine. Caffeine alleviates headaches acutely and is used medically for this purpose, generally in combination with a painkiller such as ibuprofen. Enter contradiction. Chronic caffeine use and withdrawal can cause headaches. Research has consistently linked caffeine withdrawal to headaches, even in those who drink coffee in moderation. Additionally, studies have suggested that those that drink 4 more cups of coffee a day experience headaches more often than the control subjects, even without discontinuing their coffee consumption. Caffeine withdrawal causes consistent effects typical of physical dependence, including headaches, mood changes, and the possibility of reduced cerebral blood flow. That would explain me at times. Coffee, regarded as a Muslim drink, was prohibited by Ethiopian Orthodox Christians until as late as 1889. It is now considered a national drink of Ethiopia for people of all faiths. Its early association in Europe with rebellious political activities led Charles II to outlaw coffeehouses from January 1676, but the uproar created forced the monarch to back down 2 days before the ban was due to come to force. A contemporary example of religious prohibition of coffee can be found in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The organization holds that it is both physically and spiritually unhealthy to consume coffee. This comes from the Mormon doctrine of health, given in 1833 by founder Joseph Smith in a revelation called the Word of Wisdom. It does not identify coffee by name, but it includes a statement that hot drinks are not for the belly, which has been interpreted to forbid both coffee and tea. For a time, there had been controversy in the Jewish community over whether the coffee seed was a legume and therefore prohibited for Passover. Upon petition from coffee maker Maxwell House, the coffee seed was classified in 1923 as a berry rather than a seed by Orthodox Jewish Rabbi Hirsch Cohn, and therefore kosher for Passover. And let's end this episode with some fun folklore fantasy. The Oromo people believe that the first coffee bush sprang up from the tears that the God of Heaven shed over the corpse of a dead sorcerer. They would then customarily plant a coffee tree on the graves of powerful sorcerers. I'd like a coffee tree planted on my grave after I die. On the Coffee Grind with XEI podcast, you'll never know what you're going to get. This podcast is about all the things that interest me, which is pretty random, and I know I'm not the only one out there. Topics range from the arts to the sciences and anything in between. Subscribe if you haven't already, and if you know anyone who would appreciate the Coffee Grind podcast, please tell them about it. This podcast will always be less than 10 minutes, a perfect airwaves break to all those other hour-plus long podcasts. You can find me on Twitter as @NunoXEI or at my website xei.io. Be sure to return for your next random Coffee Grind with XEI. Peace, everybody.
Bright, fresh aroma,
friendly flavor,
make it coffee.